Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Real good.
It's good to be back here again with you this week.
Yeah, great. Always good to be here on Sunday nights.
I made it in on time today.
You did.
That connecting flight from Youngstown was on time. It was early, actually. Didn't have to get the rental car.
Did you come by helicopter?
Camel.
Because I didn't see your driver out there.
I heard of camels. We're going back to you know, old school technology. Saves on gasoline.
Well,
yeah.
And when we do, if we do a show about the Three Kings, you'll be like right on it with your camel.
You're right on it. Exactly. They smell a bit, but they're, you know.
Man, they are really smelly. I got to tell you, when I was in Israel once, I wanted to go on a camel ride, and there was this Palestinian boy who was giving rides on his camel.
Yeah.
So I paid him what he wanted, and then he ripped me off and said I owed him some more money. But that was okay, but I got on this camel and probably went around, I don't know, it was probably a 15-minute ride. When I got off that thing, not only did I smell, but I smelled up my rental car.
Oh.
I ended up going back to the hotel and changing my clothes because it was disgusting. So when those guys rode camels for weeks and months, I can't even imagine how bad they would have smelled.
You know, you just don't have the facilities for a good camel. Like,
that's right. And we're much better off with our car.
I think so.
Anyway, here we are, the third Sunday of Advent.
Already.
Yes, only one more after this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then will be Christmas. And Advent, you know, if you've listened to the other shows we've done, it bears a little bit of repeating. If you haven't listened to them, go to the website and listen to them, giftofgraceministries.org. But Advent is a time of waiting. It's a time of preparation. It's a time of waiting for Messiah to be born.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about laying the foundation of why we needed a Messiah and what a long wait was involved. And then a new covenant was going to come. And last week we talked about a passage from Isaiah chapter 11. Verses 1 through 10, that talked about how the Messiah was going to come out of the root of Jesse, mm-hmm. was going to be David's son, was going to have the Spirit resting on him, was going to rule, was going to judge, and then the nations or the Gentiles were going to come under the banner as well. So it was going to be Messiah for the whole world. It was going to be the kingdom.
Yep.
It wasn't just going to be the kingdom of Israel.
Right.
And the Messiah was not just going to be for them, because as we know, and this was radical thinking, not only in Isaiah's day, but even if you remember Peter and those guys at Cornelius' house going, oh, wait a minute, how come the Holy Spirit's fallen on those guys?
Right.
And, you know, Paul then gets the idea after he gets converted on the road to Damascus. Then he understands all those prophecies he's been reading about all his life,
right,
and becomes the apostle to the Gentiles.
Right. Yeah. You know, the other part of what you're talking about here is waiting,
mm-hmm.
is a season of waiting. And if you go back through Scripture and you look at the times when God told someone to do something or gave them some instruction, and they didn't wait, but they took it upon themselves to do something, you can see how things turned out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It happened with Abraham, happened with Moses, and, even Jesus before his ascension, he tells the apostles to wait in Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
because you're going to be filled with power. You're going to be my witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important, the important part of this is that waiting upon the Lord is essential in our spiritual growth and our spiritual development. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't, we can get ahead of God and we can end up in a place where God really necessarily doesn't want us to be. And it's just important that as you wait upon the Lord, you seek Him in prayer. You seek Him with your whole heart. And the season of Advent, as we prepare for the birth of Messiah for Christmas, isn't so much necessarily about buying gifts and trimming the tree and putting up lights and decorating the house and all those other things that we get busy with.
Mm-hmm.
It's about waiting. It's about waiting. It was about waiting for the Messiah to come. It's about waiting for the Messiah to return. And in the interim, in between that, it's about preparing my heart and preparing a place in my heart that He can come up and take His rightful place in my heart.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And rightful place. That's great. Rightful's the key word there.
Yeah.
Because we have, you know, Augustine, the great saint, great father of the church, everybody loves Augustine. It doesn't matter whether you're Catholic or Protestant or Orthodox. I mean, everybody loves St. Augustine. But, you know, he pointed out in his writings that everybody has a space inside of them that only God can fill.
Yeah.
And if you don't understand that, you try to fill that space with all kinds of other things.
Yeah,
he says. And so, yeah, I mean, you try to fill it with money, with power, with possessions, with lust, whatever it is, you try to fill that space. Mm-hmm. And of course, none of that stuff is going to work. And like what you're saying makes me think of this, and I shudder to use the word Christmas season, or even worse, holiday season. Yeah, in our political correctness, you know. Anyway, but you can have the most awesome tree in the world, and you can have the best outdoor lights, indoor lights, best decorations in the world. You can buy people in your family the most amazing presents, and your kids can have every electronic thing you can imagine.
Yeah.
But if you don't have Jesus in the rightful place in your heart, all that stuff is just
stuff.
A waste.
Yeah.
It's a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
It's a charade.
Yeah. Yeah. St. Augustine says our hearts are restless until they rest in you.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's exactly what he's getting at. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think our culture making this holiday season, you know, in a demonic attack is the only way I can see it, mm-hmm. to try to take Jesus out of the picture.
Right.
And, you know, we all know the old saying, He's the reason for the season.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of people have forgotten that.
Yeah. Yeah. The battle still goes on. You know, Satan's still busy at work trying to deceive and deceive and distort the truth, deceive people and distort the truth and get them to believe that, you know, either God doesn't exist or it really doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what Satan does. He's the father of lies, and he's pretty good at it.
Oh, very good.
He's excellent at it.
Started with Eve, and he's been going since.
Going strong ever since.
And he doesn't get tired. He doesn't have to eat. He can just relentlessly work.
Exactly. So we're no match for him unless we have the power of the Spirit of God within us.
That's right.
And we can rest upon that.
We cannot
rebuke him.
We cannot take him on by ourselves.
Nope.
And
sitting ducks, if you're trying.
Sitting ducks are guaranteed casualties.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just laughs if you think, you know, if you say, oh, no, I can take care of this myself.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's important that we wait. And waiting in our culture is not something that we want to do.
No.
You know, we have such a busy lifestyle and we're going here and there, and we have all of our electronic gadgets, and, you know, I can check my email, I can check all my messages and everything on one little device now, and the world's at my fingertips.
You can even have your Bible there.
You can have, I do. That's an awesome thing.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, the electronic gadgetry that we have right now is very, it can be really good, but it can also, you know, there has to be a healthy balance with it. And with everything that, you know, with every invention, it can be used for some good for mankind, but also has to have a healthy balance if we're spiritually balanced.
Sure.
If we're spiritually healthy.
Yeah.
And that's part of it. Yeah. That's just part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So having the Word of God right there when I can, use 20th century technology instead of 15th century technology, i.e. the book, the paper, you know, the printing press.
Yeah. I can't even imagine how you would have done serious Bible study a couple hundred years ago.
Oh, man.
I mean, computerized, of all the things you can say about computers, doing Bible study by computer, I mean, you can search for a verse, you can search for a word, you can put up commentaries and parallel Bibles all on your screen at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's really pretty amazing.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have to go down to your local monastery and say, can I look at the scrolls?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, that's right.
There's only one.
Yeah. Imagine telling the Pharisees, I'm looking for something in the book of Isaiah. I don't remember what it is, but let's unroll the scroll till we find it. They didn't even have chapters and verses then.
Oh, man.
But anyway, so how come we're talking about all that? Anyway. It's good. It's good preparation time. And we ended last show with Gentiles coming to faith in the Jewish Messiah. And even in the Psalms, King David's such an interesting guy, but even in the Psalms, like in Psalm 72, you know, David writes that all men are going to be blessed in him and all nations are going to call him blessed. You know, all nations, maybe the Gentiles. David's saying that when Messiah comes, the nations, the Gentiles, are going to call him blessed. Now, can you imagine the people in Rome or Greece or China or anywhere that you can name saying, wow, that Jewish king over there, he's really amazing. He's really blessed. I mean, nobody would have even known such an insignificant place. But yet, here we are in Ohio and the end of 2015,
mm-hmm.
still worshiping the Jewish Messiah, calling him blessed, calling him holy,
yep.
calling him the Lamb of God, you know, all those things.
All those titles.
Yes. And
that are rightfully his.
Yeah. And old David, you know, he said that 1,000 years before Messiah was born, and we're living it today.
Yeah.
And the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob come down to us. This whole plan that unfolds through the chosen people, we get to partake in. So we get to be under that banner, you know, in the Song of Songs, which is probably my favorite or second favorite book. It talks, the bride talks about how his banner over me is love.
Yeah.
You know, the whole idea of the cross, the whole idea of salvation, it's because of love.
Yeah.
Is really what the banner is.
Mm-hmm.
And because we were not covenant people 2,000 years ago,
right,
doesn't mean that Messiah says, hey, I'm not going to have anything to do with those non-covenant people. I'm just going to deal with these 3 million covenant people. But no, the banner over the whole world, the banner to the Gentiles, is what we come under, and it's the cross.
Yeah.
And it's done because of love.
Right. Right. That... Excuse me, that banner that you're talking about of love is really interesting because the cross can be a very paradoxical point in our relationship with the Lord.
Exactly.
And between faiths and denominations, because in Jesus' time, the cross was a means of torture. It was, you know, crucifixion was the cruelest type of death sentence that anybody could receive.
For horrible slaves and criminals.
Yeah. And so to say that the cross is a symbol of love, when you say that, the reason that it's a symbol of love is because Jesus willingly laid his life down so that our lives would be raised up.
Exactly.
And that's the only reason that it's a symbol of love, of God's love, is because it's the means of our salvation. And that when you look at that cross, you see that Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God, willingly took my place and got on that cross and said, you're free.
That's it. That's right.
And that's what he does for each and every one of us. He tells us, your sins are forgiven. You're free.
And I don't remember your sins
anymore. And I don't remember your sins anymore. Now, we have to acknowledge him as Lord and Savior to receive that great, wonderful gift of God's love. Because mm-hmm. you can't receive love without actually, you know, receiving it. Mm-hmm. But that what Jesus does on the cross for us is the most incomparable hence of act of love that, you know, all humanity has ever witnessed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Oof. Let's do something from Romans.
Romans?
Yeah, my favorite book.
All right.
Well, maybe my second or third favorite book. I don't know. Definitely in the top five.
which
Romans chapter 15.
Ooh.
Woo.
I got a 14 and a 16. No, here's 15.
You got a 15 one?
I got a 15, yeah.
Awesome. Why don't you read 8 through 12?
For I say that Christ became a minister of the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, to confirm the promises to the patriarchs, but so that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him.
Mm. Yeah, so this is Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, Pharisee, Hebrew of Hebrews, Pharisee of Pharisees, no one more zealous for the law than mm-hmm. I am, than I was.
Right.
Now saying, hey, you know what? Jesus became a servant so that the Gentiles can be saved. So yeah. that the Gentiles can have atonement. So the Gentiles can be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
So God can be glorified and his name be glorified by Gentiles as well as the covenant people.
Yeah.
And this is pretty awesome stuff.
It is.
You know, he says, rejoice, O Gentiles. I mean, this is really pretty neat.
Yeah, because the Gentiles weren't looking for him. They weren't seeking him.
Yeah.
But the prophecy is fulfilled that those who did not seek me will find me. Those yeah. who do not know me will, you know,
yeah.
they will know me.
Yes. And I hope maybe we'll do after Christmas and maybe around New Year's time, you know, we usually do a show about the presentation of Jesus in the temple with mm-hmm. Simeon, who's one of my favorite people. I wish he'd have written a book. It would have been my favorite book.
Yeah, he didn't.
He didn't write a book. But anyway.
Can't wait to meet him.
Yeah, I love when Simeon holding little 40-day-old baby Jesus says that he's the glory of Israel and he's yeah. a light to the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Woo! And yeah. Paul kind of restates this in that passage that you just read.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is an awesome song. Woo! Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. Like incense as we magnify the sun, mighty God of Israel, Lamb upon the throne, all blessing and honor to our God forevermore. Even so. Together We come in one accord. The bonds of peace unite us in the Spirit of the Lord. Clothe us with salvation, robes of purest white, the body of Messiah. We are precious in your sight. Even so, Yeshua.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
That's an awesome song, yeah.
And I got to tell you, Steve really sings that song really well.
Thanks, Uncle Phil.
If you want it.
Whenever Phil tells me I sing a song nice, he's my uncle.
I'm not really his uncle.
No, you're not.
But
we are related.
I have some biological, yeah, through Adam and Eve.
Exactly.
I have a lot of biological nieces and nephews, and then I have some honorary nieces and nephews who happen to live in Jacksonville and LA, but that's another story. Anyway, now you got me all off track, or I got myself all off track. Anyway.
What were you talking about?
So we were talking, we ended up, before the song about Simeon saying that this baby was the glory of Israel and the light to the Gentiles.
Right.
And we'll talk more about this as the time goes on, but the thing that we have to keep in mind is that he's holding a physical baby boy.
Yep.
Who had already been circumcised 30 days ago. Mm-hmm. Now was being presented in the temple. He had to eat. He had to have his diaper changed, mm-hmm. cried, slept. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a human baby boy.
Right.
Not an illusion. Not right. some kind of cosmic projection. This is a
right.
human baby.
Right.
And
a real physical,
yeah,
living, breathing human being.
That's right. And this was promised, you know, as we've been talking about through this Advent thing, there was a really long period of waiting because it comes from Genesis 3:15 where God promises a redeemer. And these passages are talking about a real physical redeemer. Mm-hmm. So the question is, how does this real physical human being get here? He has to be born of a woman, born under the law.
Born under the law. To redeem.
Don't we have that on the website?
Yeah, no, that would be great. Oh, yeah.
But anyway. But the issue, too, was that Jesus, as the second person of the Trinity, could have come to earth at age 30. I mean, could have come to earth as a 30-year-old man.
Could have.
I mean, could have done that.
Could have.
But he didn't do that.
Because nothing's impossible for God.
Right. But he didn't do that. And the prophet Isaiah even addresses that in chapter 7. We'll have Steve get to that.
Got to get back to Isaiah.
I think it's verse 10 through 14. But Isaiah addresses to the fact that the virgin's going to be with child. In other words, we talked last time about, a few times ago, in the Garden of Eden, before Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, before they were judged, essentially, God says he's going to put enmity between the serpent and the woman, between his seed and her seed. Mm-hmm. And we pointed out that women don't have seed, So this was a prefigurement of Messiah not having a human father, not being stained by
original sin.
Adam's original sin, Adam's nature, which we all inherit. And we don't have time to talk about Adam anymore, but, you know, Adam abdicated his whole spiritual responsibility.
Yes.
Sorry, Adam, but you blew it. And,
Now, mercy and forgiveness.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Okay.
All right. We'll try to do that. But anyway, this necessitated this plan. And as the plan unfolds, Isaiah talks about a sign that is so unbelievable that we were talking about things being radical. This is radical.
Yeah.
Go ahead and read
Very
that.
Very radical.
Go ahead and read that.
Okay, this is Isaiah chapter 7, verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz.
Uh-huh.
Ask for a sign from the Lord, your God. Let it be deep as Sheol, or high as the sky. But Ahaz answered, I will not ask. I will not tempt the Lord. Then he said, Listen, house of David, is it not enough that you weary human beings? Must you also weary my God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The young woman, pregnant and about to bear a son, shall name him Emmanuel. Curds and honey he will eat, so that he may learn to reject evil and choose good. For before the child learns to reject evil and choose good, the land of those two kings whom you dread shall be deserted.
So he's talking about some other stuff too, but the main issue there is, now your translation said the young woman. This is another controversy which we don't have time to get into. There's the Alma Batula controversy, but most translations will say the virgin shall be with child and bear a son and name him Emmanuel. So God says that this is going to be a sign that's going to come from the depths or the heights. The Lord himself is going to give you a sign. The Lord himself is going to give you a sign. In other words, this is a sign so unbelievable that it can only come from God. And that is that the virgin shall conceive a barren and bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. Now, this may be confusing to those of you who don't know the Bible, don't know any Hebrew, but Isaiah is not suggesting that the baby is going to be named Emmanuel, because obviously Jesus wasn't named Emmanuel. He was named Yeshua. And Emmanuel, of course, means God with us.
Mm-hmm.
And what Isaiah is telling the house of David, this is addressed to the king, and Isaiah says, you house of David, and remember, God is speaking through Isaiah, and the Messiah is going to be the son of David. The Messiah is coming through the family of David. So he says, I'm going to give you a sign that only I can give, and the virgin's going to have a son, and is going to name him Emmanuel, because that is going to be God with us. This isn't going to be, he wasn't named Emmanuel because God kind of liked the name, or Isaiah liked the name, or the king liked the name, or it was a common name in David's family, because it wasn't. The name is actually a title, which means God with us. Just like Messiah's name, Yeshua, is also a title. It means salvation. It means God saves. So when Gabriel said to Mary, you're going to name your son Yeshua, he's saying to her, you're going to name your son salvation. It wasn't that Gabriel liked the name.
Right.
Or he didn't say, it wasn't because he said, well, God really likes the name Yeshua, so that's what you're going to name him. Or we understand from your parents that they really like that name, so why don't you just name him that? No, this is a predetermined name because it's going to show what Messiah is going to do. He's going to bring salvation from God.
Yeah.
Not from the law. He's going to bring salvation from God. And this idea of Emmanuel is then fulfilled in the first chapter of John's gospel, where it says the word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Right.
So God with us, Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Greek means he pitches his tent with us. In other words, he comes and lives with us, like he moves into your neighborhood. He buys the house down the street and lives there. He's physically living among us as one of us, becomes flesh. It's God with us. But his name means salvation.
Right.
So this is a sign that only God could give. Only God could come up with a foretelling that a virgin was going to bear a son. And the son was going to be salvation.
Yeah.
And he was going to be God with us. Because God always told, you know, he told Isaiah a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
He told Isaiah, I don't do anything without telling you about it first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no surprises in the Bible.
Right.
Everything is told to us.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen? Roughly when it's going to happen?
Yeah.
How things are going to, you know, all these the Bible's full of prophecy. And this was an amazing one. He tells us ahead of time what he's going to do. Because that way, when it happens, you know that his promises are true.
Mm.
And you know that this is the proof
yeah.
of who he is and what he says is the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. As you said, it's a pretty big sign and something that only God can do.
Yeah.
You know,
it's pretty amazing.
And I
mean, two people sitting around wouldn't say, well, maybe a virgin will have a son, and that'll be the Messiah.
Yeah. I'd be like, well, that's not even possible. Well, you know, having the Messiah take on human flesh does pose that obstacle of, okay, well, how is he going to take on human flesh?
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, as you said, you know, could he appear as a 30-year-old man? Could have.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't choose to do it that way.
Right. Right.
God chose to do it this way because, you know, you think about it, Jesus, every baby takes on the flesh of their parent.
Yes, exactly. You know? Exactly.
Their blood is their parent's blood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because as the child develops in the mother's womb, that's just the way it happens.
Mm-hmm.
So God chooses to bring about Messiah into the world as this infant who comes into the world as any other infant mm-hmm. and as any other baby,
mm-hmm.
purely dependent upon his mother and father,
yeah,
stepfather in this case,
mm-hmm.
for their survival.
Exactly.
Little baby Jesus couldn't just get up and start walking around and start teaching in the temple.
Yeah.
He didn't start talking when he was 2 days old.
Or when Herod was going to kill all the baby boys, he had to be protected.
He had to be protected, exactly. Right. His parents had to take him in the middle of the night and flee to Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you think about this, the way that God chose to bring the Messiah into the world, it's really quite extraordinary how all this takes place, because he has to be protected. He has to be nurtured and so they can grow up
mm-hmm.
and become a man.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, as you reflect upon the season of Advent, you know, as Jesus is coming into the world, you know, again, we reflect on how he comes into the world because he's already been here once, but also we now reflect upon and think of his second coming.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, because we're in the second Advent now.
We're in the second Advent, right. So it's important for us to reflect upon how he came into the world, the reason why he came into the world, because there's sin and God, this is the way that God was going to deal with the sin problem
mm-hmm.
and redeem all of mankind.
Mm-hmm.
But at his second coming, he doesn't come back as a little child.
No.
He doesn't take on the form of human flesh as a baby.
He comes back as a meek and mild
right.
servant.
He comes back in his resurrected body, hands and feet pierced.
As a judge.
As a judge. Yeah.
With an iron rod, it says in Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to, you know, Paul says everyone's going to bow the knee. Everyone's going to confess that he's Lord. We're going to do it willingly.
Right. Some people are going to do it willingly.
And some of them, some people are going to do it because they're going to be made to do it.
Right.
Because that iron rod is going to make them do it. But it's just everyone is going to do it.
Yeah.
Whew. But, you know, this is incredible. So this is such an unbelievable sign that it doesn't come from what we think because we don't think this way. Our intelligence doesn't count. Our feelings don't count. And if you'd have been living then, you knew that someday there was going to be a Messiah and someday all these things were going to happen. But to think that a virgin is going to bring him into the world, like we talked about, can't be contaminated by man, not polluted by sin,
mm-hmm.
would have been an unbelievable radical thought. So it's a sign that only he can give.
Mm-hmm.
And Isaiah, you know, says this, and Ahaz was an evil king.
Yeah.
But the sign came from God himself, because only from him could this sign come.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking about when, cause Ahaz, he was really concerned with the Assyrians.
Mm-hmm.
And, he just wanted to kind of protect himself.
Those pesky Assyrians.
Oh, yeah.
Pesky Philistines. I mean, there were always somebody. There's always something.
Always something going on over there.
And there still is.
Yes, that's true. You can look at the news any day, and there is. It was back in Isaiah. There was something else that would refer to the Gentiles, but I can't find it right now. But anyway, when Jesus is going to be born. We haven't talked too much about John the Baptist.
No, we're going to get
the forerunner.
We're going to get to him.
We're going to get to him.
He's one of my favorite characters.
You just like dining with him.
I do. I just had lunch with him before I came here.
Oh man, I always miss out on that.
The locusts, the grasshoppers, and the locusts were extra crunchy.
Oh my goodness, chocolate covered. See, that would be a great Christmas gift, is you just bring over box of chocolate-covered grasshoppers and locusts. And
he would love it.
You got to get the honey to go with it, because that kind of takes the, yeah.
Yeah, John the Baptist hated when people sent him fruit baskets.
Oh, man.
All he wanted was locusts and honey.
Yeah.
He was good.
Oh, my. But anyway, now where were we at?
I don't know. I don't remember.
So what do you got next?
So this, you know, this idea of the God man, you know, physically he's like us as a real human. Mm-hmm. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, it says he's proud to call us brethren, because
mm-hmm.
in his humanity, he's our brother.
Right.
Which is really pretty neat. And Paul says in Colossians 1 that the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. So even in this little baby that Mary carried in her womb, that Mary and Joseph saw first. We don't know. Presumably they wouldn't have had a midwife or something, because they were in this place. They were in a different town. But they saw this baby. Shepherds came, saw this baby. Mm-hmm. And they're seeing the fullness of the Godhead.
Yeah.
They're seeing the glory that Moses wasn't allowed to see.
Right.
We'll do another show about that
sometime. Man.
And Simeon is holding the glory of Israel and the light to the nations. So they are seeing the fullness of the Godhead in a baby, because he's also a baby. He's got the divine nature, and he's also a helpless baby, as we've just been talking about.
Yeah. Well, you think about how Moses couldn't even, you know, he wanted to see God's face, and God says, no, I'm going to pass by.
Yeah.
I'm going to hide you here in this cleft of the rock.
Yeah, just get a glimpse.
Just get a glimpse, that's all. And yet, they looked upon the baby Jesus, and that was God's glory.
Ooh. Hey, the song's about that.
Oh, wow.
Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Waiting for you to pass by. You placed your hand over his face. In your presence, he wouldn't die. And all Israel saw your glory, and it shines down through.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Boy, that song went right into what we were just talking about.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. Well, that's why Steve's the music minister.
I can't boast.
And Gift of Grace Ministries pays him the big bucks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Double my salary. Double what I'm getting this pasture.
Yeah. Well, next year we're going to double his salary, so it'll be good.
Yeah. Notice the excitement.
Yeah. My voice. Yeah. So I think, I mean, we could talk about this so many ways, but I think it's really important to understand this fact that Jesus had both natures.
Yeah.
Because, you know, depending who you talk to, you know, one or the other nature is emphasized more. And we can't, of course, comprehend how he could have both natures 100%
right.
of each, not 50-50 or some other fraction, but 100% of each. But since we can't comprehend it, it goes back to the virgin will be with child and bear a son. God's got this worked out.
Right. Well, you know, you bring up a good point because Jesus is fully human and fully divine.
Yeah.
And at times you see that people will really stress his humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And some people really stress his divinity.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the important thing is to remember that his humanity and his divinity, it's just who he is.
Yeah.
You know, he is fully God, fully human. But the important part is that he came to us while we were still sinners.
Yes. Yes.
And in that says a lot about how much God loves us and how approachable we can be to the Messiah in our sinful, nature.
Yes.
In our sinful state.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he wants us to hold on to our sinful nature. Right. He wants us to get rid of that, to shed it.
Yes.
You know. But he comes to us while we're in our sin.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't come to us once we're all cleaned up.
That's right. That passage is from Romans, of course.
Yeah.
And interestingly, after he says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us,
mm-hmm.
the next verse or two, it says, while we were his enemies.
Right.
We were his enemies.
Right.
Because in our sin, we're enemies of God.
Right.
So while we were enemies, he died for us. It's not normal to die for your enemy.
Right.
But he died for his enemies.
I mean, if you think about it, what happens when you sin? You rebel against God.
Yes.
So you are an enemy.
Yes.
I mean, an enemy is somebody who rebels against somebody else.
Yes.
So in those terms, God, in his great love for us, puts that aside
mm-hmm.
and comes to us
even
so.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It is. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's really amazing. And it's something that, and again, you know, I always emphasize this. If you study the whole scripture, it becomes even more amazing to you when you realize what the covenant people were doing with the law.
Mm-hmm.
And then Paul says, well, you know what? While you guys were still sinners, he died for you.
Yeah.
You know, when I was running around
being zealous,
you know, being a regular, when I was running around being a card carrying sinner, not that I'm not a sinner now, but you know what I mean? But before I cared that I was a sinner,
mm-hmm.
he died for me before that.
Yeah.
He didn't, you know, he, Every single person who's ever lived who eventually is saved, Jesus died for them while they were still in their sin.
Right.
If he waited for them to become pure and become holy, there wouldn't be too many people in heaven.
No, there wouldn't. And you know, it shows God's mercy, God's love and mercy towards us. And that, you know, people will tend to go, okay, well, God's very merciful. Nope, God's just. God's righteous. God's faithful. Well, he's all those things.
Right.
He's not one or the other.
Yes.
And I think it comes down to the person who's speaking sometimes pushes out their personal preference because of what they like.
Mm-hmm.
But as an ambassador for Christ, and we talk about this a lot, being an ambassador, we don't speak on our own.
That's right.
We speak on behalf of the one who sent us. You know, I speak out on behalf of the one who sent me.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Jesus. So that I represent him and not my own agenda, not my own ideals.
Yeah.
You know, because I need to be saved by his blood just as the next person needs to be saved by his blood.
We all do.
Yeah.
And I think you did a great explanation of that when you said he has a rightful place in our heart. And as we always talk about boasting,
mm-hmm.
none of us really have anything to boast about.
No, not really.
Because if we earned our way in, then we could boast.
You play some great minor chords, but still that's not enough.
I don't get all that stuff. Jeez, then he's telling me they're sharps and flats. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
I just like regular chords. Why does it have to be complicated?
know how musicians can be.
But this is the whole idea of the Advent season waiting for this. I mean, these are the kind of things that we should be thinking about. Mm-hmm. These are the kind of things that we should be anticipating, because with the birth of Jesus of Nazareth, with this, the birth of his human body, mm-hmm. then salvation comes into the world.
Yeah.
And obviously, if he had not been born, salvation wouldn't have come into the world.
Right.
We would still be trying to follow 613 laws.
Oh boy.
Not doing a very good job of it.
Yep.
And, you know, hoping that if you killed enough lambs, things were going to work out okay in the end.
Yeah.
But now we have this amazing gift of salvation that we don't deserve, that we can't earn
mm-hmm.
because of this.
Yeah.
And so think about these things, and this is what we want you to think about while you're putting up your tree, while you're putting up, and there's nothing wrong with doing those things, but think about why you're doing it.
Right. Yeah. What is that? Those lights that are on the tree, the symbol of the light coming into the world.
Yeah. And we didn't even talk about Hanukkah.
No.
And now Hanukkah's ended.
Yeah.
And we didn't talk about it. Because that's another, you know, the Festival of Lights.
Festival of Lights. Yeah. The oil burnt for 7 days.
Yes.
And they didn't have enough oil.
That's right.
So,
as the light of Yeshua comes into the world, you know, Christmas Eve, whenever it was, when he was actually born,
right.
The light comes into the world.
Exactly.
Oh, the show's over already.
Oh.
Anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that you would, again, prepare your heart and take the time to reflect upon God's Word and let that light that comes into the world in the person of Jesus Christ be the light of your life to guide you and lead you in all truth. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.